Hello, friends. It is good to see you on this hot January morning. I'm not sure what your Januaries are feeling like. It might be a bit of a chop and a change, and that might be what we're feeling like in our Psalms. We're chopping and changing into different Psalms. But I do hope that this time is encouraging for you. And so just before we hop into Psalm 27, why don't I pray for our time? Heavenly Father, please give us ears to hear. Please give us minds to understand and hearts to respond rightly to your word. Father, we pray all these things in your Son's holy name. Amen. Friends, I want to start off by asking you guys a question. What do you feel most confident doing? Confidence is normally situational when you think about it. Give a professional golfer a golf club, send them off onto a golf course, and they will have confidence. But give that same professional golfer an ironing board, tell them to jump out of a plane and that you're expecting an iron shirt at the bottom, and I'm sure they will have no confidence at all. What situations do you find yourself most confident? I'm not too sure what sort of things might be coming to your mind. It might be cooking porridge for your family on that cold, brisk winter's morning. Or if your mind went straight to work, it might be that one particular part of your job that's like switching off your brain and turning on autopilot. Or it might be sitting down and having those chats with your best and closest friends over coffee. Or maybe the only time that you feel confident is at home in your pajamas. And what I want to point out to you here is that there's always a reason behind someone's confidence. The professional golfer has confidence in their own skill, their own effort, all that time swinging that golf club. If someone's confident about cooking porridge on that cold winter's morning, it's because they know their family appreciate that sort of thing on those sorts of mornings. If it's that work that's like being on autopilot, it's because you know that part of your job like the back of your hand, and you have the ability to do it easily. If it's having coffee or chats with those you're closest to, you're confident in their love for you. Or if it's just being at home, it's because you're confident that you're safe. In today's Psalm, in Psalm 27, we are shown David's amazing confidence. But this confidence feels different. David has this almost miraculous confidence in a situation which should make our blood run cold. Just to give you a bit of context of David's life some 3,000 years ago, David has been facing off against enemies and armies multiple times in his life. He's faced down the Philistines and one particular giant in his youth. After that, growing up a bit, but before David became king, the first king, King Saul, used his armies to hunt and sought to kill him. But most commentators believe that Psalm 27 was written by King David when he was king, but was driven out and chased out by an army of his son who was seeking to kill him, Absalom. Regardless, David has been in a situation where armies are chasing him multiple times in his life. And I don't think that I have to try and convince you that that is a terrifying situation. An army chasing you down. Thousands upon thousands of trained military men, each one able and equipped to kill you. And they are hunting you anywhere you go. Sounds like a bit of a biblical version of that movie, The Fugitive. One guy on the run from all authorities. If I was in David's shoes and a king and his army were trying to cut off my head, I would be constantly filled with dread. And this psalm is filled with that sort of imagery. An army deploys against David. Evildoers come against God's anointed. David is surrounded by enemies, a terrifying situation. Yet he starts off this song with, "Whom should I fear? Of whom should I be afraid? My heart is not afraid. Still, I am confident." How is David not afraid? What possible reason could there be to have unwavering confidence in the face of his enemies? Well, we're given the long and the short of it in this amazing psalm. And in the first three verses, we're given the short answer. It's the Lord. The Lord is my light. Why should I fear? The Lord is my salvation. Whom is it who can frighten me? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Who is it that's going to take this life from this stronghold? Evildoers, foes, enemies, armies deploying, wars breaking out. I am confident. What a picture these first three verses paint. A man, completely outnumbered, surrounded on every side, but our eyes are drawn to, our attention, the focal point, is on the Lord. The Lord who is the man's light and salvation. The Lord is the reason for this man's confidence. Yahweh is the impressive one and the stronghold of this man's life. And as I go about imagining that sort of picture, I feel like it should be in some sort of museum, right? A biblical epic. Wonderfully painted, beautifully framed. But is this painting meant to be realistic? Or is it meant to be that emotional contemporary art where we're just meant to get a vibe from it? Are we to have the same confidence depicted here? Well, let's read the rest of the psalm. The rest of the psalm is like a behind the scenes, so to speak, of these first amazing verses. Because in the rest of the psalm, we see David's prayer and David's hope in the Lord. And David really is living on a hope and a prayer. In this psalm, David declares his prayer to God and then he states his hope in light of that prayer. And that's the flow of the passage. I tried to color coordinate this, but the colors don't really pop on the screen that much. But if we go to the next slide and zoom in, those first three verses should be in orange. And they're the kind of picture that David paints. But then if we go to the next slide, we see pairs. Green is David's prayer. Blue is David's hope. If we go to the next one, we see a second prayer and a second hope. And then if we go to the third slide, a third prayer and a third hope. There are three prayers and three reasons for David's confidence. So why don't we look at that first prayer? In verse 4, when David's life is on the line, this is what his heart desires. To dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing on the beauty of the Lord and seeking him in his temple. There should be another slide for the verse. But he says, I want to be with the beautiful Lord of glory in his house. That's what I want. One of David's highest desires is to look upon and behold the Lord. He knows that the be-all and end-all of his life is that his eyes see God in all his majesty and in all his splendor, because seeing the Lord is what you do when you're in his presence. There are no distractions. I want to be with the Lord. He asks for something else, to seek him, which is to know him. That's the other major part of dwelling with the Lord of glory. David wants to see and to seek God in his house. Now, the only ever time that I've longed to move to a different house was just before I got married. It was me and three brothers, four guys under 30 in a two-bedroom apartment in Willoughby. It was cheap living. It was hilarious living. We were making it up as we went. It was fun. But as fun as it was, I was waiting for something so much better. I was waiting to be in a house where the one I treasured would be with me, where we would dwell together and where I could see her all the days of my life. Dwelling in the Lord's house is the grandest place to be, where the one we treasure is, the place where we can see and seek the Lord. David prays this first prayer in verse 4, and then he states his hope in verses 5 and 6. It'll come up on the screen as well. David says, he will conceal me in his shelter. He will hide me under the cover of his tent. That's tabernacle language, where God is. Then I will offer sacrifices in his tent with shouts of joy. The place of salvation, the safest place, is with the Lord. Under his shelter, in his tent, in his presence. The Lord, he will save David. And we see David really does know God as Savior. In David's youth, when he faced down the Philistine army and that one guy in particular, Goliath, when he was facing off against him, David says something that you will not find in any picture book. In 1 Samuel 17, David says this to Goliath. This day I will deliver, the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down. And I will cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine armies this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And that all this assembly, these quaking, shaking Israelites who wouldn't dare defy Goliath, and all this assembly may know that the Lord saves. David knows the scriptures. He knows that the Lord saved the Israelites out of Egypt, and that the Lord dwells with them in his tabernacle. The safest place in the whole world for David is in the Lord's tent, in his presence. In the presence of the Lord who saves. And don't we have that same hope? Don't we have the clear word of God, the scriptures showing us that he does in fact save? Don't we have a certain savior in our Lord Jesus Christ? This hope sounds so familiar. Yet, can we say the same thing about David's prayer? David's heart longed to be with the Lord. Is that what our hearts long for? When was the last time you, in a quiet moment, your heart's desire was to be with and to see God in all his majesty and in all his light? Spending time in this psalm really did convict me of how much my heart is not set on seeing the Lord and being in his presence. Most of my heart and my prayers are set on the temporary, the here and the now. And it's not that we shouldn't be praying for those things, but it's telling if that's the only thing in our prayers. We really do need to learn to long and pray for being with God. Our hearts are meant to change and to grow. Just like our actions and our minds need to change and grow, our desires need to change and to grow and need to be for God. We can and we should pray this sort of prayer. So that's the first one. Why don't we look at David's second prayer? Look down at verses 7 to 9. David prays, or says this, the Lord says, "You are to seek my face." And David responds, "Lord, I will seek your face. But do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. Do not leave or abandon me." God here commands David, "You are to seek my face. Seek to be face to face with me. Dwell closely with me. Seek my face." And with this close relationship that God has with David, David then prays that the Lord would not turn away or hide his face or leave and abandon him. May this intimate relationship with God never be broken. Lord, please don't leave me. In the face of armies coming against David, may this close relationship with the Lord never be cut off. Because being cut off from the Lord means death. And what's his hope in light of this prayer? If you look down at verse 10, "Even if my father and my mother abandon me, the Lord cares for me. Even if the people closest to me, my mother and my father, if they abandon me, the Lord won't. He cares for me." David will dwell closely with the Lord, never abandoned, because the Lord cares for him. David's hope, the reason for his confidence when his life is threatened, is his closeness with the Lord. And again, doesn't that hope sound familiar? Do we know the God who is close to us, who won't abandon us. We are commanded in 1 Peter 5, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. David's life had massive ups and downs. His son tried to kill him and take his throne. God was still close and caring for David in that time, but it didn't mean that his life would then suddenly become easy. God cares for David by being faithful to his promises. David will dwell in the house of the Lord. He won't be killed by his son, and he will return and be in that tabernacle again. And God cares for you, brothers and sisters, in so much of a bigger way than if we're healthy or sick, if we're rich or poor, if our life gets better or worse. It can't get much worse than your son trying to kill you. We have a wonderful hope of dwelling closely with the Lord. He will not abandon us. Why don't we jump quickly into David's third prayer in verses 11 and 12. He says this, show me your way. Lead me on a level path. Don't give me over to the will of my foes. David is praying, come and lead me. Guide and show me. God has to be with David as he goes along the Lord's way. But what is the way of the Lord? What is his way? Well, the way of the Lord is obedience. If you think back to Deuteronomy 5, Moses says this to the Israelites. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in the way of the Lord that he has commanded you. The way of the Lord, the level path, is living in obedience to the very word of God. And what's the blessing that comes along with that? Life with God. The will of David's foes is death. That's what they're wanting for him. But David wants to obey God, walk in his way, and have life with the Lord. So how confident is David that this will actually happen? How confident is it that he will have this life? Well, if you look at verses 13 and 14, we see his hope. I am certain that I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and courageous. Wait for the Lord. God's word is full of promises concerning life. Obey God's word, certain life with the Lord. Live opposed to God, certain death and destruction. David's hope is in these promises of God. You know, the ones where God promises life to sinners. And as we're thinking through this psalm, is this the only time that we get to look at God's anointed king and see his prayer and see his hope? Well, not at all. I want us to quickly look at Jesus' prayer and Jesus' hope in John 17. The anointed king facing down death, wrath, and enemies all around, and Jesus living on a certain hope and a certain prayer. David was living on a certain hope and a certain prayer. And I wonder if the next time that you hear Living on a Prayer by Bon Jovi, you'll remember Psalm 27. I'm not going to sing it like Phil, but you can just imagine it. Now, John 17. In verse 24, Jesus prays, Father, I want those you have given to me to be with me where I am and to see my glory. This is what Jesus' heart desires. The one we love, the one we sing about at church, desires us to be with him where he is and to see his glory. How similar is that to the prayer that David first prays, to be being with the Lord and seeing his beauty, his glory? How comforting is it that our King wants us, longs for us to be with him in glory? Jesus also prays further down in verse 26, I have made you known to them, and I'll continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. That is a prayer of perfect, close unity with the Father. Never to be broken, never to be abandoned. He wants to make the Father known in order that the love that the Father has for the Son may be in us, the church. How astounding is that? The Lord truly does care for us. But what about Jesus' hope as he goes towards the cross? Well, in Hebrews 12:2 says this, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross." The reason for Jesus' confidence as he's about to go and endure the cross is the joy set before him. We know what Jesus desires. We've seen it in his prayer. He wants his people to dwell closely with him and to see his glory. That's the joy set before Christ. Jesus has joy over the hope of us dwelling with him and seeing his glory. And his work on the cross, his death on the cross, made that a certainty. The cross was always at the heart of every promise God had made. The cross is at the heart of what David is singing about and praying about in Psalm 27. The dwelling with the Lord that David wrote about is only possible by the wonderful deed Jesus did of dying on that cross. Friends, we are in the prayer and the hope of Jesus Christ. I really do want you to be comforted by the prayer and the hope of our King. Because right now, we dwell in a world where we are surrounded by sin and death, suffering, sickness, despair, COVID. It can be hard to be confident in the Lord. But God has shown us in his word today that David lived on a hope and a prayer. That Jesus lives with a certain hope and a certain prayer, that we might have that same hope and prayer. We can go out this week being confident in the Lord, praying this psalm throughout this week, longing to be in the house of the Lord forever. So whatever may come, wait for the Lord. Be strong and courageous. Wait for the Lord. Amen.